This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
A couple of weeks ago, I started sharing a little message around joining the worship team. And I had an invitation that I extended to every one of us and to myself as much as to anyone else to join the worship team, but not the band. To sign up and to say that in my heart and in my lifestyle, I want to be a worshiper. I commit to be a worshiper. I commit to living a life of worship. And we spoke around that just a little bit. I want us to sort of carry on around that same thought, that same theme this morning, and think a little bit about joining the praise team. Often we talk about praise and worship as one, and in a musical sense, they flow together very much the same, but they're two very different things. We saw that we spoke about worship, and worship was whatever we did out of a response of who we know Jesus to be and who we know the Father to be. As we have a revelation of who God is, our response to that is worship. Whatever we do out of response to who He is. And so we're going to see this a little bit later that praise can be a form of worship. But worship at its core and worship at its heart is always something that is directed towards God. It might be an action that I do outwardly. It might be a loving, it might be a giving, it might be a serving of a different person. But my motivation for that is because of a heart that's directed towards God. And so worship is about a heart drawing near towards God. We saw that beautiful passage that I will worship towards your holy temple. Worship speaks about a coming towards the presence of God. Worship speaks about a heart that's directed at God, and it's from a place of love and a place of intimacy. So with all of that sort of as a little bit of a reminder of where we were a couple of weeks ago, just after that we spent some time, as we're doing every morning at the church office, and I want to invite any one of you who's able to join us, even if it's once or every morning, however regularly you would like to. We're praying every morning at the church office at 9 o'clock, except Mondays we pray at about 11:30. We just have a meeting first, and then we pray as an outflow of that. So Mondays about 11:30, and the other days at 9 o'clock every morning. And we've just decided we're going to take time out, and perhaps you can't join us at the office, but you can take time out at your office and say, hey, I'm just going to take a 15-minute early coffee break or whatever, 20 minutes, half an hour, however much time you have, and just spend a few moments. And we're just praying for all of us, praying for our church family, praying for the things that different ones of us are going through, praying for our ministry opportunities, praying for our services. I want to invite you to pray with us. And as we were praying, we're just so aware how, as we head into the second half of the year, tends to happen sort of naturally. But I think spiritually, how not just based on the calendar, but how some of us perhaps have been drawn into a little bit of a spiritual lethargy, a tiredness, a growing weary. And we were praying and into this, and we were praying into the heaviness that's on so many people that we speak to. A heaviness that sometimes we even experience as we come to church, and it just feels like there's this heaviness upon our hearts sometimes. I was thinking through it. You know, we live in pretty tumultuous times. There's a lot that we can be weighed down by. I mean, just this week in the news, you know, it's recession again, and finances aren't looking good, and the finances aren't looking good sort of broadly for the country. That just means it's probably not looking good for all of us individually, and the challenges around that. We're heading into election season again, which means the politicians are all standing up and saying a whole bunch of really unnecessary things. Things that can weigh us down and things that can confuse us. It's important, just in that, can I maybe just drop something in there? It's important that we know what our capacity is and what we can stomach. The same way that, you know, apart from the fact that I think in horror movie, just the whole genre is the stupidest thing ever created. I mean, why do you watch a movie to make you scared? Why do you even want to do that? Why, as a Christian, even more, would you want to step into anything that's fear-based? But you know, as you step into that, we all have different different limits, different capacities. And I remember even as a kid, I'd watch these movies, and fortunately they wouldn't freak me out too much. I was unsaved then, but I wasn't drawn to them. God has been gracious to me in that sense. I've never had a desire to sit and watch horror movies. But the ones that I did watch, kind of, I was like laughing. I was like, how do people come up with this? And then I'd speak to my friends, and they weren't able to sleep that night. And you know, a little thing like that is to stay, but I didn't have the capacity to watch horror movies. Apart from the fact that I don't think any of us should, just as an example, just in a totally unspiritual sense, I don't have the capacity that they affect me too much. I remember a couple of years ago, as a student in Marez, I started to realize sort of during my study times that I'd have this really just almost nauseous feeling stirring on the inside of me in the nights when I was studying. And then I started thinking, well, why do I feel like this? And I realized, well, it's every time I drink coffee, I feel really bad. And I realized I've got a super, super low tolerance for coffee. So I made a really, really easy decision in my life, and I just said, I'm going to stop drinking coffee. Because every time I drink coffee, I feel bad. And I know some of you love coffee, and like, how does this happen? This guy has not received the revelation yet. God delivered me there from something, and I'm so thankful for that. But that's a different discussion. I just put two and two together, and I realized this doesn't work for me. In the same way, some of us have a very low capacity for news, for current affairs. Some of us, we look at a newspaper and we just read the headline and we're upset. Learn to manage your intake. There's no point in you browsing on Facebook sites at night before you go to bed about all of this stuff and all of these crime things that's happening in the country, and then you end up not sleeping at all. That's just bad self-management. I'm not saying don't be aware of what's going on in the world, but know what your capacity is. And especially as we head into the election season, maybe just throw out there, take everything you read with 5 pinches of salt. Maybe just while we're on the topic, just because a newspaper says it is so does not make it so. Just because News 24 or Rapport or IOL or what, CNN or whatever, CNN is the worst at this. I love reading what CNN says Donald Trump says and then going reading what Donald Trump actually says and trying to figure out how does CNN hear that Donald Trump said that. It's amazing how hatred can fuel so much confusion. And that bring that same into every news house in South Africa. They all have an agenda. They all have a purpose. They're all trying to push something. Learn to step away from the newspaper says this and go and say, but did they actually say that? Did they actually say that? And a very large part of what you'll find journalism, modern journalism, sadly has become, it's confusing and obfuscating and hiding what has actually been said to push an agenda. So with all of this hoo-ha going on in South Africa about 1,000 different times, there's a lot of things to feel heavy about. One of the ways to lighten the heaviness is just to manage your own input. Know what you have a capacity for and then stay away from that which you don't have capacity for. The political rhetoric in our country can make us feel heavy. Some of us are going through stuff personally, and our personal circumstances can load heaviness upon us. The Springboks lost yesterday. Again, that can bring a heaviness upon us. See some of us shaking our head. You watch the rugby and like, no, no, no. Maybe some of us need to manage our sports intake like I've learned to manage my coffee intake. I had to do that a while ago. I got so emotionally involved in all of the sport I was watching. I realized I don't want to be moved emotionally in that capacity, in that way, by the sport that I watch. So let me just not watch for a couple of months and allow God to change something in your heart. I want to watch for the enjoyment of sport. It's meant to be entertainment. If it's not entertainment, if it's not enjoyment anymore, I'm not going to watch it anymore. And now I can watch the Springboks and see them knock on 29 times or whatever it is in one match and laugh about it and feel a little bit down, but then get up and carry on with my life. But as we go through life, we all have these different things. And if you were to imagine me wearing this backpack, we go through life and this backpack gets filled with a whole bunch of stuff, weight. And we're praying into that over the church. And for many of us who've been picked up just over time, just a lot of stuff in our lives. Heaviness and confusion. I felt God remind me of something so beautiful, so precious. Isaiah chapter 61. There's one passage of scripture that's worth memorizing. This might just be it. Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses, it speaks, it's sort of Jesus' mission statement. When Jesus gets up to declare why he's come to earth, he opens the scroll of Isaiah and he stands up and in Luke chapter 4 and he reads from the book of Isaiah. He says, "This is why I have come." And watch what he says here. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." And this is sort of a prophecy of what would happen when Jesus would come, and it did happen when Jesus came. "The Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed," that just means divinely empowered. The Holy Spirit has given me an ability to bring good news to the poor. "He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come. And with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes. A joyous blessing instead of mourning. Festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory." And as I was reminded of this passage, I was reminded of the sufficiency of the cross of Jesus. I was reminded that whatever heaviness, whatever challenge we face, and I think too often in church we do a whole bunch of things that are not centered around the cross. And so for this morning, I want us just for a moment to come back again and to look at the life of Jesus and what he won for us on the cross. You see, if you read Isaiah chapter 61, the first three verses, there are very few things in your life that you will go through that are not mentioned there. He speaks about poor, he speaks about mourning, he speaks about having enemies come against you, being prisoner, being brokenhearted. Many challenges that we go through. And then this beautiful bit there, sort of halfway through chapter 3, festive praise instead of despair. Some of the other translations put it this way. The New King James calls it the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. And that's a verse that I felt God leading me to in that morning as I was praying for us as a church. That God gives us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. The English Standard Version says the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. The New American Standard, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, of heaviness, of growing tired. And as we were praying through that, and as we were thinking through that, I began to just realize this little picture in my mind of something that happens as we grow in relationship with Jesus. Haven't studied this. I'm not going to say this is absolutely 100% true, but if I look back over my experience, I think that in my life, this is true, in the life of some of my friends, and perhaps in your life, this might be a little bit true. See that as we grow in maturity with Jesus, typically we grow in our capacity to worship. We grow in our devotion. We grow in our surrender. We grow in my ability to love, to enter into that place of intimacy where we're near to God. But what I also found is that as much as we grow in our capacity to worship, we diminish in our ability to praise. Think on that just for a moment. Think back to the time when you first came to Jesus. The time just at the start when you entered into a relationship with him. I remember one of the things that marked my early walk with Jesus was just vibrant praise. What is praise? I love how Charles Spurgeon defines praise. He says, "Praise is the open declaration of the gratitude which is felt within." I love that. Do you remember we said worship is whatever I do out of my response to a revelation of who God is? And that can be intimate, that can be quiet, that can be just falling flat on the face, on my face. Worship can be about me just giving and just sacrificing and surrendering. Worship includes all of that. Praise is far narrower. Praise, in a sense, is actually a sub-form of worship. I mentioned that earlier. Praise, as we see here in Hebrews chapter 13, praise is always vocal. I love it when the Bible gives us definitions of what the Bible speaks about. Therefore, by him, that's by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. What is that? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Praise is always vocal. Praise is something that flows out of our mouths. Worship doesn't have to be vocalized. Worship can be in my giving. Worship can be in my surrender. Worship can be in my serving. Worship can be in my silence. Worship can be in my prostrating. Worship can be in my reading. Worship can be in my devotion. All of that that I do out of revelation to God. But praise is different. Praise is loud. Praise is vocal. Praise, a little bit like prayer, has to come over our lips. I love challenging and encouraging people when they say, I prayed about this. And I said, but I was standing next to you. I didn't hear you pray. No, I was praying in my thoughts. No, you weren't praying in your thoughts. You were thinking. You were thinking about praying. Prayer is an action. Prayer is a decision to verbalize what I believe God is wanting me to say, either to him or over a situation. And if I just sit and I think, then I'm thinking. I'm not praying. There's a difference between thinking and between praying. Prayer requires an action. There's this beautiful picture of Hannah who's praying, and she so wants a child, and she's in the temple praying, and the priest Eli comes to her and says, why are you drunk? Because I see your lips are moving, but there's no sound coming out. She says, no, I'm praying because I want a child. Eli says, God has heard your prayer, but I love the image that she's afraid, she's shy, she knows kind of it's not comfortable praying through the stuff, but she's not just on her knees with her mouth closed. She's actually praying. Yes, Eli can't hear what she's praying, but she's realizing there's a power in the movement in the lips of actually going over to an action. There's something about being in a space where I'm thinking of doing something. There's something totally different when I deliberately take the step and I move into action to do it. Some of us have missed this, but I love the fact that God has given you and me a body. He's given us a body. And he's given us a body which is exactly the same purpose as every other faculty that he has given us. And that is to bring glory to his name. And everything that you and I want to do on this earth, there's only one way we can do it. With our bodies. We have to exercise our bodies. If I want to hug my wife or hug my child, I can't just sit and think, ooh, that would be nice to hug my child. Right now I'm closing my eyes and I'm really imagining this great moment of hugging my child. See, I haven't hugged him. I haven't gone to work unless my body has gone to work. And God has given us our bodies as an expression and to express whatever he's placed within our hearts and within our minds. Prayer is the same and praise is the same. I want to say it again, and perhaps as a challenge over where you are in this area, but a challenge to me personally, definitely. The reality is that I don't praise the way I do now to the way I did when I first came to Christ. As we come to Christ, often we grow in our capacity to worship. We grow in our intimacy with God. We grow in our surrender to him. I hope we do. Most of us, I think we do. But perhaps we diminish in our capacity to praise, to be vocal about who he is. Let's look at just a couple of verses in just to run encouragement for that. This evening, if you're able to, I want to invite you to join us. We're going to have a time of praise with the band here as well. There's going to be a time of sort of worship, intimate closeness with God, but there's going to be a time of praise as well this evening. 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Isn't that such a powerful, this powerful description of who we are? Isn't it? I think it is. Together, we are all of that. But I love, maybe I don't love, that's not the right word. I'm amazed sometimes at how often we read scripture, but we totally misread scripture. We read all of these nice adjectives and descriptors of who we are and what scripture defines us and speaks into our identity, and we should. But we miss the message that the passage is trying to convey to us. It says you are all of these things, and you are all of these things for a very specific purpose. You are God's chosen, what does this translation say? His chosen generation. You're his royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. And why are we all of these things? So that in this translation, you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, if we step into the becoming the holy nation, the royal priesthood, the chosen generation, his own special people, all of that is for one purpose, so that we may proclaim his praises. You see the word there again, proclaim? It speaks about verbalizing. It speaks about getting it out there. It's not something quiet. Proclamation is not something we can do quietly. Praise is not something we can do quietly and internally. And this for me is a challenge. As an introvert, this is kind of one of the hard things for me that I need to wrestle through, to realize that God wants me to be vocal in my praise. So what is praise? Praise is very simply, we'll get there in a moment. Whose praises? Well, him who called us out of darkness into marvelous light. Maybe let me interrupt myself, run ahead of myself a little bit. What is praise then? We said praise, what did Spurgeon say? Praise was the outward declaration of what's happened on the inside. Or how did he phrase it slightly differently? Praise is the open declaration of the gratitude which is felt within. We said worship at its core is that whatever I do out of revelation, out of an understanding of who God is, however I respond out of that, that's worship. And for you and me, that's all going to look different. That's worship. So worship, what is that? Worship are the actions that I do that are directed towards God. Those actions can include singing. They're not limited to singing. They can be pretty much anything on this planet that I do. The way you love your wife can be worship unto God. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself God. So I'm going to choose to be obedient. I'm going to love my wife with every fiber of who I am out of my devotion to you, Jesus. And that's an act of worship. What is praise? Praise doesn't involve God at all. You see, worship is a relational thing between me and God. Praise is when I tell other people about who God is. Praise is when I use my mouth to declare the good things that God has done, but it's not direct. See, worship is directed towards God. Praise is directed about God. Does that make sense? Praise is directed about God. So when is it praise? Well, praise is when I'm telling, when I'm extolling. That's actually exactly what the word means. It's making much of, in a sense, and worship specifically ties to that as well. But with my mouth, when I'm exalting, I'm lifting up, I'm praising, I'm proclaiming, and I'm telling everybody else how good, how great, how special, how magnificent, how glorious God is. So yes, it starts with a revelation as well. But its outflow is very different. See, praise is a subset of worship when you think of praise in this context. Yes, I praise God, and it's worship unto God in that, but it's not directed towards God. It's directed towards one another. Directed towards other people. I'm not praising God when I tell God how good he is, how amazing he is, how majestic he is, how glorious he is, how worthy he is. That's an expression of worship when I bring it to him. I'm praising God when I'm going from God, from a knowledge of God, from a revelation of God, and I'm going outward. And in a sense, I'm turning my back on God, not in a kind of irreligious, I think you guys hear what I'm saying, but my voice isn't directed towards God. My voice is directed towards everywhere else and everything else. And that's when we enter into the realm of praise. Luke chapter 19, 36 to 40. As he rode along, this is Jesus. He's just about to enter into Jerusalem again. He's nearing the end of his time on earth. He's been ministering for about 30 years. He's been ministering for about 3 years. He's about 33 years old probably by now. And it's just a couple of days before he's going to be crucified. And he's coming back into Jerusalem. And he sends his disciples out. And they go and fetch the donkey. And they bring the donkey. And he gets on this donkey, and on this donkey is where we pick up the story. He rides along into Jerusalem. The crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. What's these actions that praise involves there? Shouting and singing. Shouting. For me as an introvert, that's hard. But that's what praise requires. This is what they shouted. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." Then verse 40. "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." When Chris Lodewijk was here, when is it, about a year and a half ago, I can't even remember exactly. He was here with those services when Chris Lodewijk shared with us. I love the message that he shared, an old man and heading towards his 80s if he's not there already. And he was telling his life story, specifically the evening. It was just such a powerful message. If you missed it, I'd encourage you to go and download it. And I was challenged by his message, but I was challenged by sort of a principle that he'd adopted. You see, he had some rough times. He grew up as a non-white person in apartheid South Africa and was faced with all of the challenges. But he said something so powerful for me that's like, he sort of made a decision. He had a motto in his life. He said, "I'm not going to let the devil win." And he just determined whatever situation he would find himself in, "I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm going to approach every challenge, every circumstance, every struggle, every opportunity in my life." And that was sort of his life's motto. "I'm not going to let the devil win. I'm not going to let the devil win." I was challenged by the idea of sort of having a couple of phrases that we live our lives by. A couple of phrases that are go-to phrases in the challenging moments we find ourselves. One of them could very well be, "I'm not going to let the devil win." But perhaps one of them could be, "I'm not going to let the stones outpraise me." Because if I walk into a situation and I choose to keep quiet, God's praise is not going to be silent. Someone or something is going to praise him because he is worthy of all praise. I'm not going to let anybody else, I'm not going to let anything else outpraise me. How about that? Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and say, "I'm not going to let any stone sing a praise louder than me." We're going to be challenged by that because you know what Psalm 19 teaches us? You know, the great expanse of the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. They declare it. They proclaim it using their speech. And scientists today are beginning to listen to that. The sound that the planets make. The sounds. I was just reading today that apparently, or just in the week, just in preparation, scientists are beginning to be able to listen to sounds that emanate from rocks. We look at them, we don't hear anything. Scientists using fancy listening devices are beginning to hear the sounds that rocks make. Jesus said, if you and I are going to be careful, or not, are we going to, if you and I are going to be quiet, those rocks are going to proclaim his praise. I want us to go back to the passage that I started with. Isaiah 61. You see, the key to the heaviness that you and I perhaps might be experiencing, the key to deliverance from that heaviness is a simple, simple spiritual discipline. Can I throw that out there as well? That too often in modern church, we forget about the beauty and the power of disciplines. Being disciplined is not ungodly. Being disciplined is... we love putting this label religion on things. I wonder, when did religion get such a bad name? James writes, "Pure and undefiled religion between God and the Father is this: to visit widows and orphans, the vulnerable, to keep ourselves unspotted, unmarked by the world, So kind of if we were to read that in a modern sense, we'd say, well, that's religion, so we mustn't visit orphans and widows because that's just religious. And yet that's not at all what the scripture means. Yes, fair enough. Doing actions that are not based in the heart, we don't want to go there. And that's kind of what people have begun to call religion. But actions that are born from a heart of surrender, of loving Christ, we have to have those. Isn't that exactly what we read as well, that faith without works is dead? You show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. How do you know if I have faith or not? Well, do my outward actions show that I trust in Jesus? That I do what is found pleasing towards Him. The word for that is godliness. The definition of the word of godly, the word godliness. I hope some of us want to be godly. Some of us can have a form of godliness but deny its power. But we need to be godly. What is godliness? Godliness, by definition, the word Eusebia, simply means the actions that are appropriate for the gods. Godliness, in a Christian sense, is what are the acts that we, you and I, do that are appropriate towards our God. Disciplines, many of them. Things we do regularly and repeatedly, not from an empty heart, but because of a heart that's surrendered to God. And I want to encourage us, I want to invite us to do a little bit of stock take. And I wonder how many of us have praise in our regular spiritual disciplines. How many of us have, just over the last week, engaged in an act of praise? Perhaps through song. Perhaps through other ways. You see, praise can include, let me just put this out there, praise can include telling the heavens about the goodness of God. So there's a great way, kind of introverts like me, I can get over this. I got a car, close the windows, get good music. We're going to see that now. Praise music. Yes, worship music is amazing. And I was just, you know, thinking through the songs we sing in church over the last while. There is amazing worship music. Amazing worship music. There is very little praise music being written nowadays. I just find it fascinating. And yet Jesus says that He gives us a garment of praise. We clothe ourselves with praise. We've got to put on the praise. And what does it do? It breaks the spirit, the yoke of heaviness. That spirit that wants to faint, the fainting spirit, the spirit that says, I'm growing tired. I love what someone said recently. If you getting tired, learn to rest, not to quit. If you're getting tired, learn to rest, not to quit. But if you're getting tired, part of your rest is found in praise. That is God's answer. And I want to just go back there kind of in perhaps where I started, didn't say it as explicitly as I could. Every challenge you face in this life, the cross has an answer for. Every challenge you have, the cross has an answer for. And you and I, as we go through our various challenges, one of the first disciplines we need to learn is to slow down, get with the word, and find out, Jesus, how did the cross answer this question? So perhaps you're encountering a little bit of heaviness now. How did the cross answer this question we're looking at today? Well, the cross answered it by giving you a garment of praise. Standing up and saying, I want to choose to praise. You and I, every single day, have a choice to praise. We see that with Jesus coming into Jerusalem. He implies that they've got a choice to praise me or not to praise me. The people throwing the palm leaves and shouting glory in the highest, they can choose to praise or they can choose not to praise. If they choose not to praise, the rocks will praise, but someone's going to praise. But it's a choice. I find with people who struggle just with their excitement in life, for lack of a better word, just being excited and hopeful about life, people who are struggling with forms of depression, and I know depression is very real. I'm not trying to knock depression. If you're struggling with depression, it's real. Don't be ashamed about it. The cross is sufficient for that too. It's a beautiful passage. Also in Isaiah, it says, your sun will never go down again, but the Lord will be your everlasting light. Hold on to words like that. Learn to re-understand what does it mean that Jesus says the cross is sufficient for your emotional well-being as well. And while you're doing that, and as you're going through it, make sure you get the necessary professional help. But a good question, and wherever on the spectrum of that you may be that I've learned to ask people, is two things. What are the music you listen to, and what is the meditation of your mouth? It's amazing how many people who struggle with deep, dark thoughts, and they wake up in the morning, and the first thing they listen to is Adele. About how deep and dark, and it's almost as if they associate with the darkness, and they're drawn into the darkness. Amazing, amazing voice. I just so wish you could use it to sing about hope and life and joy and peace. And that's where it's important. We need to make decisions to say, what am I allowing my mind to meditate? Am I going to choose to praise? Because in a sense, if you want to think about it this way, you know, you can measure the pain of any breakup on a scale of naught to Adele, you know. You are praising. You are praising darkness and despondency and unhappiness. You're making much of those things. You're verbalizing it and you're singing along and you're talking about how dark and difficult and how I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life and how there's no one that's going to make me happy. And if you're confessing and singing that all the time, guess what your spirit's picking up? Or you can step back and begin to praise. Get some good praise music. Put it on in your car. Put it loud, really loud. The other day I was taking my kids to the school and I dropped off two of them and the one was still in the car and she was driving with me and we had loud praise music going on in the car and then she decided to open the window and put her head out. Now we're coming close to the school and the other parents are around and I'm like, let me just put this a little bit softer. And she turns around and says, "Kan jy hoor nie? Sit dit harder." Sometimes we just need to do that. Just put it louder. Put it louder. Be willing to praise and be willing to be loud with our life. Whether it's music, whether we're just saying it. Maybe you're like me and totally not musical at all. One of the ways in which you can bridge that gap is just get good music. Get good praise music. What is praise music? Well, it's not fast music. It's not slow music. It's music that tells others about the goodness of God. Whether you're declaring that to the heavens, whether you're in a sense saying it to yourself, and whether you're hopefully practically also saying it to the people around you. Imagine this. You come to work first thing in the morning. Hey, how are you doing? God is so absolutely awesomely good today. Can I tell you what he did for me yesterday? That's praise right there. You enter into a praise environment. Do you know what breaks? Heaviness. Hope begins to enter in. The solution for heaviness and darkness, despondency for this country. Yes, we need to pray, definitely. But it's more praise coming from the church. More stirring faith in God coming from the church. More the church standing up and saying, yes, this world is useless, this country is useless, the politicians are even more useless, but the God is not. Our King is amazing, and he has carried this country for centuries, and he's going to continue to carry this country more and more and more. I've just been challenged by over the last couple of months how many articles I've seen all over the place on social media, newspapers, whatever, telling us in what a bad state this country is. And at the same time, I'm challenged by how few, probably zero, posts on social media that I've seen telling us about how God has got this country in his hands. And one of the reasons I think some Christians are getting heavy and the spirit of heaviness is because we've lost our ability to praise. To praise in the midst of whatever. So yes, there's heaviness. What's the answer to heaviness? Praise. Vibrant praise. So you can sing perhaps songs in your car like me if you don't want anyone else to hear. There's another way you can do it. King David helped us so much. He wrote a whole bunch of psalms, 150 of them. He didn't write all of them, but a whole bunch of them. You know, many of them are praise psalms. So I'm going to ask us to do something really weird, but good weird. To praise together this morning. Some of us are going to be a little bit awkward, but that awkwardness needs to break because I think we need to engage with praise more and more in our lives. And this is something that you can do personally. This is something that you can do on your prayer walk. This is something you can do in your quiet time. And just between you and me, quiet time is not meant to be so quiet. Okay? Yes, there are times of quietness, but there are times when we don't need to be quiet in our quiet time. I want us to read two psalms together. And they're challenging psalms because they're psalms of emphatic praise. Out and out, the only singular purpose of these psalms are because of praise. And we read them, and we read them regularly. We proclaim them. We step into a habit, a lifestyle of praise. I love David Crowder. It's a powerful book if you want to read it. It's really good. It's called Praise Habit. Praise Habit. He speaks about living in a habit, a lifestyle of praise. And then he brings this image of a garment of praise. And then he gets, because he's just weird like this, but he's brilliant like this, then he gets all Catholic on us. And he reminds us what a habit is. Any people here who are in Catholic schools, Catholic environments, what's a habit, Nicole? The nuns wear a habit. It's a garment. So if we're getting into a praise habit, we're putting on a garment of praise. We're putting on clothing because that's exactly what a habit is. That's what the same word, it's got the same root. A habit is something I do regularly. It's because it's something I put on. It's something I clothe myself with. What if you and I, we put on praise habits? And we walked around like a nun wearing a habit, but my habit is a habit of praise. And everywhere I go and everything I do, there's habit all the time that is about praise. Two psalms that I'd like us to read out loud. Are you guys up for this? I've got a microphone. The rest of you need to shout. Can we stand together? We've got the words up there. I want us just to read out loud two psalms of praise. And perhaps if you're here and you're struggling with heaviness, we definitely want to pray with you before you leave. But I also want to encourage you. Ask Jesus for the garment of praise. But realize as he gives you the garment of praise, you're going to have to put it on. You're going to have to wake up in the morning and say, I'm praising. You're going to have to open the Bible and find some praise psalms. Find some CDs or playlists that have praise songs in them and just enter into vibrant, loud praise again, because there is something about the praises of God that breaks the heaviness and the yoke of heaviness that comes upon people. Yes, the cross made it possible. Yes, it's because Jesus died on the cross. That's something that you and I get to put on, and God gives us a garment of praise. Let's praise together from Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Psalm of praise. Praise the Lord. You see how he's not speaking to God. He's not writing to God. He's not saying, God, you are so amazing. God, I love you so much. He's saying, everybody else, this is the God that I want to tell you about. Psalm 150. Another praise psalm that probably many of us know well. Some of us may even have sung it. Let's proclaim it together just as a psalm of praise. Can I just go back there just before we carry on to Psalm 150, something that I want us to see there? Praise can, doesn't always have to, but can and often does involve shouting. There is nothing wrong with shouting in the presence of God. As a matter of fact, more often than not, we're instructed to shout in God's presence. From time to time, I drive, you know, I haven't seen him in a while. God's been delivering the church, which is a good thing. But you drive down sort of a street, and you'll see a sign that says, Quiet Church. And I'm like, no. You're misunderstanding something. It's fine if it says quiet old age home, quiet cemetery, you know, quiet funeral service carrying on, maybe even quiet school we're teaching people. But the church should not be quiet. Yes, there's a place of being quiet and surrendered into God. Yes, there's a place of being quiet so you can hear what the people around us are saying. But, you know, church shouldn't inherently be quiet. Church should be a loud space filled with praises of the living God. A place where we can come to, where we can shout, where we can break the yoke of heaviness. Just something else that's beautiful about us coming collectively in a time of praise like we're going to this evening again. Maybe just rewind a little bit. I'm taking too much time, but I'll finish now. You know what Scripture says you should do when you're sick? Lie in your bed all day and hope you get better soon. No. Go to some people who can pray with you, or call them to come to you so they can pray for you. You know, the worst excuse for not coming to church is because I'm sick. When I'm sick is exactly the time I should be going to church so that I can have people praying for me. I can go and tap into that which God has put up for us. The same when I'm struggling in life, when I'm tired, when I'm weary, when I'm feeling heavy, the worst thing I can do is not go to church. Because church should be that place where I step into with heaviness and I'm down, I'm losing my job, I might get fired, my marriage is struggling, my finances aren't going, there's heaviness upon me, but you know what? This is a place where I put on the garment of praise for my spirit of heaviness. Because maybe I struggled to do it by myself in my room. Maybe I struggled to do it in my car. But maybe, just maybe, the place where I can do it is when the body of Christ comes together and the speakers are on loud and everyone else is singing. And I can just praise, and I can, in a sense, praise, almost want to say violently, against the oppressive forces of heaviness that want to push me down. We need to enter into the place of praise. Let's read Psalm 150 as we close. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with a blast of the ram's horn. Praise Him with a lyre and a harp. Praise Him with a tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flutes. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, Lord Jesus, this morning we just come before You again, Lord. And Father, I pray for every single one of us who in some way have been cloaked with heaviness. Right now in Jesus, we just choose to cast off those heavinesses. And if that's you, maybe just figuratively, you just want to cast off your heaviness just as we pray. And Jesus, thank You that You have given us a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, Lord. Lord, I pray for every one of us individually, by implication, collectively, us as a church, Lord God, that we would grow in our ability, our capacity to praise, Lord God. God, we pray that You'd restore the ministry of praise to our midst, Lord God. We thank You for the beauty of worship we have, Lord, the ability to enter in, to be intimate and close with You, and to experience Your presence, Lord. We thank You for that, God. Such a beautiful gift. And Jesus, we pray that You would add to that more and more vibrant praise, loud praise, passionate, emphatic praise. Praise that's directed, Lord, all around the world, that everything that has breath would praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, even this morning, we want to repent for the times when the rocks have outpraised us, Lord. When we have allowed the devil or heaviness or circumstance to close our mouths to Your praise. And we pray that Your praise would again be on our lips all the days of our life. That we would wake up in the morning with praise upon our lips. That we would go to bed at night still praising You. That we would join with that song where we sing, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. That every morning and every day, Lord, that praise would be upon our lips. God, we pray that we would again be a praising church, a praising people, praising individuals, praising believers, Lord. that we would never draw back from proclaiming and saying, how great is our God. And so, Father, as we go from this place, I just want to bless everyone with your presence, Lord. I want to thank you that we don't go from your presence, but your promise is your presence goes with us. And so as we go tonight, or as we go this morning, Lord God, we thank you that we go with your presence. And we pray that we may go with mouths filled with your praise all the day. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here this morning and you'd love someone to pray with you, maybe you've just got real heaviness. Praise is fantastic, and we're going to definitely praise, but we want to invite you. We want to pray with you as well. Maybe there's some other stuff going on in your life and you want someone just to pray with you around that. I want to ask you to step forward, and we would love to pray with you around whatever it may be. And then also remember, this evening we're going to be coming together again with the Shofar Band and the album launch. That's going to be just a whole evening of praise and worship. And 6 o'clock here in this hall, we'd love to have you here. God bless you all. Have an incredible day further.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.